an abundance of tomatoes. We also raise a fine variety of sweet corn, and dry a large amount for use during the winter months. Nearby us is a food factory, where we can supply ourselves with the grain preparations. Use of dried corn and peas -524 CD 492.2. We endeavor to use good judgment in determining what combinations of food best agree with us. It is our duty to act wisely in regard to our habits of eating, to be temperate, and to learn to reason from cause to effect. If we will do our part, then the Lord will do his part in preserving our brain nerve power. CD 492.3. For more than 40 years I had eaten but 2 meals a day. And if I have a specially important work to do, I limit the quantity of food that I take. I regard it as my duty to refuse to place in my stomach any food that I had reason to believe will create disorder. My mind must be sanctified to God, and I must guard carefully against any habit that would tend to lessen my powers of intellect. CD 492.4. I am now in my 81st year, and I can bear testimony that we do not, as a family, hunger for the flesh pots of 493 Egypt. I had known something of the benefits to be received by living up to the principles of health reform. I consider it a privilege as well as a duty to be a health reformer. CD 492.5. Yet I am sorry that there are many of our people who do not strictly follow the light on health reform. Those who in their habit transgress the principles of health, and do not heed the light that the Lord has given them, will surely suffer the consequences. CD 493.1. I write you these details, that you may know how to answer any who may question my manner of eating. CD 493.2. I consider that one reason why I have been able to do so much work both in speaking and in writing, is because I am strictly temperate in my eating. If several varieties of food are placed before me, I endeavor to choose only those that I know will agree. Thus I am enabled to preserve clear mental faculties. I refuse to place in my stomach knowingly anything that will set up fermentation. This is the duty of all health reformers. We must reason from cause to effect. It is our duty to be temperate in all things. CD 493.3. General Principles of Reform. MS 29, 1897-24. I have had great light from the Lord upon the subject of health reform. I did not seek this light, I did not study to obtain it, it was given to me by the Lord to give to others. I present these matters before the people, dwelling upon general principles, and sometimes, if questions are asked me at the table to which I have been invited, I answer according to the truth. But I have never made a raid upon anyone in regard to the table or its contents. I would not consider such a course at all courteous or proper. CD 493.4. Tolerance of Others. Letter 45, 1903-25. I make myself a criterion for no one else. There are things that I cannot eat without suffering great distress. I 494. Try to learn that which is best for me, and then saying nothing to anyone, I partake of the things that I can eat, which often are simply 2 or 3 varieties that will not create a disturbance in the stomach. CD 493.5. Letter 19A, 1891-26. There is a wide difference in constitutions and temperaments, and the demands of the system differ greatly in different persons. What would be food for one, might be poison for another, so precise rules cannot be laid down to fit every case. I cannot eat beans, for they are poison to me. But for me to say that for this reason no one must eat them would be simply ridiculous. I cannot eat a spoonful of milk gravy, or milk toast, without suffering in consequence, but other members of my family can eat these things, and realize no such effect, therefore I take that which suits my stomach best, and they do the same. We have no words, no contention, all moves along harmoniously in my large family, for I do not attempt to dictate what they shall or shall not eat. CD 494.1. I have been a faithful health reformer. 1909-1958, 159-27. When the message of health reform first came to me, I was weak and feeble, subject to frequent fainting spells. I was pleading with God for help, and he opened before me the great subject of health reform. He instructed me that those who are keeping his commandments must be brought into sacred relation to himself, and that by temperance in eating and drinking they must keep mind and body in the most favorable condition for service. This life has been a great blessing to me. I took my stand as a health reformer, knowing that the Lord would strengthen me. I have better health today, notwithstanding my age, than I had in my younger days. CD 494.2 It is reported by some that I had not followed the principles of health reform as I had advocated them with my pen, but I can say that I had been a faithful health reformer. Those who had been members of my family know that this is true. 495 CD 494.3 Content Appendix I statement by James White relating to the teaching of health reform in reporting the Kansas Camp Meeting of 1870. Elder James White made the following statement regarding the progressive light that had been received on health reform, the dangers of injudicious methods of teaching the subjects, and Mrs. White's relation to certain extreme positions that were then being advocated by some. Yes, a historical statement it illuminates some of her teaching recorded at that time. Compilers.R&H, November 8, 1870 CD 495.1 Mrs. White has spoken on the health question in a manner to give entire satisfaction. Her remarks were clear and forcible, yet prudent, so that she carried the feelings of the entire congregation with her. On this subject she always avoids extremes, and is careful to take only those positions where she is quite sure not to excite prejudices. CD 495.2 The people are easily excited and prejudiced upon the subject of health reform, if those who handle it are unfortunate in the selection of the occasion, or in the style in which they present it, especially if they stand before the people in the light of extremists. Some delicate questions, such as solitary vice, should seldom, if ever, be discussed, only in suitable publications upon the subject. There is not one in 10 of our preachers who are suitably informed, and properly guarded, to handle the health question in its several branches before the people, and the amount of harm done to the cause of present truth by the injudicious course of those who have introduced the subject of health reform at the wrong time and place, and in a wrong manner, can hardly be estimated. CD 495.3 I have yet many things to say unto you, said Jesus, but ye cannot bear them now. Jesus knew how to lead along the minds of his disciples. The Lord also knew how to introduce to his waiting people the great subject of health reform, step by step. Yes, they could bear it, and make a good use of it, without souring the public mind. It was 22 years ago the present autumn, that our minds were called to the injurious effects of tobacco, tea, and coffee, 496 through the testimony of Mrs. White. God has wonderfully blessed the effort to put these things away from us, so that we as a denomination can rejoice in victory, with very few exceptions, over these pernicious indulgences of appetite. CD 495.4 When we had gained a good victory over these things, and when the Lord saw that we were able to bear it, light was given relative to food and dress, and the cause of health reform among our people moved steadily forward, and great changes were made, especially in regard to the use of swine's flesh, up to a certain point, when, in consequence of our sickness, Mrs. White ceased to speak and write upon the subject of health reform. From that point may be dated the commencement of our misfortunes and mistakes as a people relative to this subject. CD 496.1 And since we have become active again, Mrs. White oftener feels called upon to speak upon the subject of health reform because of existing extremes of health reformers, than from any other reason. The fact that all, or nearly all, of the existing extremes upon health reform among our people are supposed to receive her unqualified sanction, is the reason why she feels called upon to speak her real sentiments. The people must, and will in due time, know her position upon this subject. CD 496.2 In reference to the use of tobacco, tea, coffee, flesh meats, also to dress, there is a general agreement. But at present she is not prepared to take the extreme position relative to salt, sugar, and milk. If there were no other reasons for moving carefully in reference to these things of so common and abundant use, there is a sufficient one in the fact that the minds of many are not prepared, even to receive the facts relative to these things. The complete overthrow of individuals, and the almost destruction of some of our churches, can be clearly traced to some extreme positions upon diet, injudiciously given in the review sometimes is. The results have been bad. While some have rejected the subject of health reform, because badly handled, others, prompt and conscientious, have carried out the most 497 extreme positions, greatly detrimental to their health, and consequently to the cause of health reform. CD 496.3 In this state of things, however discouraging, Mrs. Whitefield's called upon to resume her work in this field of labor, and in so doing, will let her views be fully understood. It may be well here to state, however, that while she does not regard milk, taken in large quantities, as customarily eaten with bread, the best article of food, her mind, as yet, has only been called to the importance of the best and most healthy condition possible of the cow, whose milk is used as an article of food. She cannot unite in circulating publications broadcast which take an extreme position on the important question of milk, with her present light upon the subject. Such works may be well enough with well-informed health reformers, and may be a proper diet in the cooking department of our health institute at Battle Creek, after its tables shall be cleared of the habitual use of milk. And such works may have a greater influence among our people when our ministers, who are ardent health reformers, shall leave the free use of cow's milk. CD 497.1 Here is our weakness upon this subject. Our publications, which go out to the untaught and those very susceptible to prejudices, are in advance, upon some of these points, of the practices of those among us who represent the health reform. Mrs. White pleads to have this matter so reversed that our publications shall speak out only those sentiments upon which those standing at the head of the reform are agreed, and that in a style not to prejudice, and put good men and good women beyond our influence. Let the united practices of health reformers take the advance, and then let our publications follow, and speak out well-matured sentiments as the untaught can bear them. CD 497.2 Mrs. White thinks that a change from the simplest kinds of flesh meats, to an abundant use of sugar, is going from bad to worse. She would recommend a very sparing use of both sugar and salt. The appetite can, and should, be brought to a very moderate use of both. In the case of salt, food with so reduced an amount that it would taste insipid to the one accustomed to the use of much salt, after 498 a few weeks of very temperate use, will be painfully salty to the taste. CD 497.3 While tobacco, tea, and coffee may be left at once, one at a time, however, by those who are so unfortunate as to be slaves to all, changes in diets should be made carefully, one at a time. And while she would say this to those who are in danger of making changes too rapidly, she would also say to the tardy, be sure and not forget to change. The plainest facts possible demand a change from the common habits of life, but let them not be made so fast as to injure the health and constitution. CD 498.1